Well, good morning, everyone. Pastor Dameron was close. He said that we've been friends for a few minutes, I think it was. What he meant is he's been nice to me for a few minutes. The rest of our friendship was not so nice. But it's all good, amen? I'm learning humility from him. Well, I have a few things to say before we begin. I want to say thank you to all those that are here. I know that you brought your young people here to hear from the Lord, and my desire is the same thing. Josh Fryman does not matter this week, but your young people hearing from the Lord does, and I want you to know I don't take it lightly to be here. I count it a great privilege to not just stand in this pulpit, but also to have the opportunity to preach to the young people. I do love young people, and I'm glad that I'm able to be here. This is my first year at the conference. And so far, so good. I'm impressed. The entire 15 minutes that I saw you playing the game. Now, here's the thing, though. I don't know who to root for yet. So, hold on. Not all at once. We'll start here. No, just kidding. We're not going to do that. If I should root for the blue team, let me hear you cheer. Oh, the red team? And the other team, whose name I forget? Green, okay. Yeah. Are there only three teams? Okay. So I'm going to go red, all right? But just to encourage the blue and the green, I'm also a Browns fan. So just because I'm cheering a certain direction doesn't mean anything, all right? So anyway. I really appreciated that devotional that Brother Schreiber brought. That was excellent. And I that is so true what he said. There's another great quote. By the way, I'm opening with a Ben Franklin quote as well. So that was affirmation, brother. Thank you. I also have a similar story about the phone bandits thing. For years now, I've been known as the donut bandit. So I'm not saying it's the exact same thing, but it's close. But what he said this morning was very true. There's a great quote in a book on humility. And the man said this, and I think it's a good thought. Humility is not seen in the greatest way by how one receives praise. Anybody can be humble then, right? Oh, you did a great job. Well, you know, hey, thank you. It's not me. That kind of thing. But he said humility rather is seen greatest when one receives blame. Be corrected and watch how you respond. And that really is what shows humility. We ought not be surprised when we do something well. Something bad. We ought to be surprised when we do something well. I just messed up right there. So that wasn't an illustration, by the way. I really did mess up. But I have that in the front of my Bible. I shouldn't be surprised. I can't believe I made a mistake. I can believe I make mistakes. What I should be surprised by is when I do something right. That's when I should be surprised. Amen? All right. Well, if you would take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I shared with Pastor Dameron yesterday. I said at a youth conference teaching out of Daniel to teens who have heard about Daniel dozens of times if they've been going to church any amount of time. But I'm going to hope that you enter this text the same way you go back to ice cream. Amen? You've had it lots of times, but it's always good going back. All right? Now, real quick, I before I forget, where's Wildwood Baptist? Are you guys all sitting together? Wildwood Baptist? Wow, they put the wild in Wildwood, don't they? It's all right, woohoo. Where are the Brother and Mrs. Ingalls' grandchildren? I heard that you guys were here this week. Could you stand up, please? Brother and Mrs. Ingalls, there were seven of them. Are you spread out? Okay. I just want to make sure I know who you are, because what I don't want to do is single you out and embarrass you. And if I don't know who you are, I won't know not to single you out and embarrass you. So now I know it's these right here. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. I don't want Brother Ingalls on my bad side. Or on his bad side. And then Brother and Mrs. Forney, they said their children are here. Where are you guys at? I think they had three right here. One on there. I met you last night, didn't I? You could have introduced yourself, pal. What's that? Well, hi. Whoa, don't sit down yet. Is there another one here, or is it just you two? Ah, we're on the front row. What a fine young man. What a good example you are to the other people that are here. Hey, Jeremiah. Way there in the back. No, I told your folks I would say hello to you. I don't want to forget. All right, so you all excuse us while we have a personal conversation. But genuinely, your parents are some of the most genuine Christians that I know. I had the privilege of going to youth camp with them, and they were always great examples. So it's nice to meet you, all three of you. All right, now for the rest of us. Amen? You may be seated, except Jeremiah. Just kidding. You can be seated. All right. We're going to get to our text in just a minute, but I want to read you a quote. I love quotes. I like history, and I like quotes. I like pithy statements, things that are small but packed with truth. I think they're helpful. And so I want to give you a couple, and I want to see if you can tell me what you think they mean. The first one is from Ben Franklin, and he said this. He said, "Experience is a dear school, but a fool will learn in no other, and scarcely at that." Anybody have an idea of what that might mean? Experience is a dear school, but a fool will learn in no other, and scarcely at that. Okay, not everybody at one time. I can't see everyone's hands when you raise them like that. Okay, right here. Yes, sir.
Don't do the same stupid thing again and again.
Okay. What's your name? Are you an attendee or are you a youth pastor?
I am an attendee.
You're an attendee. You're a student? Okay, very good. Not in college, in high school. Okay, very good. All right. I wouldn't put it quite as pithy as the young man did. But here's what Ben Franklin was saying. It was a good answer, though, and I appreciate you interacting, all right? I'm going to need you to interact more later, all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. With the words amen.
Amen.
Come on now. All right. Here's what Ben Franklin was saying. He said, "Experience is a great teacher, but a fool won't learn by any other." What he's saying is that, yes, you can learn from experience, but if you're smart, if you're wise, you will learn from other people's experience. If you always have to learn your own lessons, that's not wise. We know Solomon said the same thing. Perhaps it's where Ben Franklin got the idea. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon says that a foolish man will not receive instruction. But wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. All right? And so it's very important that we learn from experience. And God is so good to us to record other people's experience and other people's life lessons that they learned, so that we can not just look at the Bible as a history book, but that we can learn lessons from the text. That's very important. There's another quote I like that fits here to this theme, All Out Attack. It's by a man named John Shedd. He lived in the 1800s, and he wrote a book close to his death in the early 1900s. But he said this. He said, "A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are made for." What do you think that means? Any other volunteers besides our front row man up here? Yes, sir. Very good. Get out there in the open water and carry out your mission. Would that be fair? Yeah. Very good. I feel affirmed now. It's my guy over there. That's exactly right. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what it was designed for. It was designed to go out in the water, carry out its mission. Guys, listen. Young people are great in church, but that's not what we're working on you for. We're working on you to go out there and carry out your mission. And how silly it would be for the captain of a ship, a big aircraft carrier, you can imagine him heading out of the harbor, and all of a sudden the vast ocean opens up before him and he says, "Stop! We can't go out there. Look at all that water." I said, "Well, sir, you are in the Navy." Now, it's a silly illustration, But there's an application here. Yes, the aircraft carrier, as mighty as it is completely overwhelmed if you're looking at ratio. If you're looking at all the water in relation to that little ship, yeah, that might be intimidating. But when you realize this, that when that ship goes out into those oceans, all the water in the world can't sink that ship as long as it keeps the water out. But you start letting the water in, it won't take all the water in the world. It'll take just enough. Just enough in, and then it's sunk. The text before us this morning is about a young man who realized that it doesn't matter where I am. My environment doesn't dictate who I am. My Creator dictates who I am. My identity is in God. It's not in where I am. And all the influence of Babylon isn't going to sink my ship. And I want to make sure I'm not going to allow anything into my life. And so the text before us is Daniel chapter 1 and the first two verses. The Bible tells us that Jehoiakim was a Jewish king. And he wasn't a very strong-willed man. He was kind of a weakling, kind of a coward. That's why Nebuchadnezzar didn't mind him staying on the throne. He had heard about how easily he was used by the Pharaoh of Egypt. He's a pawn. And so he allows them to stay on the throne because this is what Babylon wanted to do. They wanted to conquer the world. And as they conquered different people groups, they would use people from those different nations and cities. And they would allow them to assimilate into their culture and then be used to their own benefit. And so in chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So, to this intent, meaning, nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof, they might stand before the king." If we can spoil these guys, if we can show them how good it is to live like a Babylonian, then after 3 years in our university, after 3 years of our influence, they'll feel a sense of loyalty to us, and then they'll carry out the things that we want them to carry out. But there were four young men led by one that had a different plan. And so as we walk through this text, we're going to need the Lord's help. So I want you to bow your head and your heart with me, and I want you to pray for me as I preach. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity you've given me to stand before these young people, to stand before their pastors and youth pastors. I pray that you would bless the Fairhaven Baptist Church for their hospitality. And Father, there's so many things we could list to be thankful for. But right now, our desire is for you to speak to the hearts of everyone that's here. I pray that you would give me the grace I need to preach a message that goes beyond their ears, that the Holy Spirit would take my words and allow them to be sunk into the hearts of the young people that are here. I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased with what I do, and I also pray you'd be pleased with how these young people respond. We will be quick to give you the glory. Father, we were so thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus, as was sung about. And I pray, Lord, that you would show yourself strong here in this service this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for us to understand the significance of what Daniel did, it's important that we understand the intention of King Nebuchadnezzar. The intention of King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar gives us a beautiful picture of the prince of this world. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world in the Gospel of John. And he's saying that he has his own kingdom. He has his own desire to advance his kingdom. Now, that's not something that we say to scare young people. I'm not here today to scare you about the world. If I could be honest with you, I'm not intimidated by the world. The Bible tells me, thank you, brother. The Bible tells me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, if you believe that, the world doesn't scare you. If you fear man and you worry about what people might think, then it might scare you. But if you fear God and know who you are in Christ, then it doesn't scare you. You're burdened for the world. You're concerned for the world, but you're not fearful of the world. So let me tell you, I'm not here today to try to scare you and tell you how bad it is out there. It's bad out there. It's sinful. They're lost. What do you expect? We can't expect lost people to act like saved people. But what we can do is give them the gospel. We can show them how good it is to be a Christian, how wonderful it is to be saved. I was praying for Chicago this morning. You guys are going there after the service today. Is that correct? I thought, what a blessing Chicago's about to receive. You have hundreds of Christians heading into Chicago today. That's an opportunity to be a testimony. Praise the Lord for that. No, I'm not here to scare you. But I do pray by God's help, I do prepare you. See, there's a difference in being scared and being prepared. This conference was not designed to scare young people into how bad. No, it's designed to prepare young people. And Daniel was prepared. Nobody flipped a switch in Daniel's heart and said, time to turn it on, Daniel. No, Daniel had already come to some conclusions in his own heart. And he understood that that king, Nebuchadnezzar, did not have his best interest at heart. He had his own agenda, just like the devil, the prince of this world. And if you think about it, it matches exactly what goes on today. I'm not bragging on you all, but I want to just commend you for being here this week. There are thousands of young people that are not here this week, but you are. You made decisions. You saved up your money. You put money together. Whatever it is, you wanted to be here. You wanted to sit under the preaching. You wanted to have good fellowship with other Christians from around the world. And I commend you for that. You fit the description of the young people in chapter 1. Because what King Nebuchadnezzar said is, I don't want just any young people. I need the best of the best. I want young people who are good looking. I want young, and by the way, that's what the world's standards always are, how things look, right? Israel found themselves in that state one day, and they learned that you don't do that. God said, don't look on the outside, amen? Look on the heart. I know you know that, but it's good to be reminded of these things. God looks on the heart. God wasn't looking for a man who could look like a king. He was looking for a man who could be a king. Because character matters. And so, but to King Nebuchadnezzar, I need them to look nice. And now we have a good looking group of young people here. Amen. You're to be commended. But he said, I want them smart. I want them good looking. Well favored, that's what it means. I want them cunning and all wisdom. I want them understanding science. I want the best of the best. He wants the cream of the crop. Young people, I want to remind you and challenge you that because you are the best of the best, it doesn't make you better than other young people. I want you to know that. But you are better off than many other young people. With what you know and who you're surrounded with and the church that you attend, you're better off than thousands of other young people. But you have a target on your back. You have a prince of this world who, much like the king of Nebuchadnezzar, wants to tempt you and buy you and show you how wonderful Babylon is. And so the agenda is literal. It's, I want the best of the best. But he didn't want to use them to benefit them. He wanted them for his own purpose. He wanted them to change their identity. That's why he gives them new names. He wanted them to not worship their God. That's why he removed the stuff out of the temple. He wanted them to begin assimilating into their culture. He wanted to teach them how Babylon worked. How Babylon talks. You see that right there at the end of verse 4? They might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. There's a way God's people talk, and there's a way the world talks. And God's young people have no business talking like the world's young people. And it's not just the words, it's the tone of the words. There's a spirit with our language. We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm getting excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. You all right? Amen? Brother Jeff, by the way, pray for Brother, is it Jeff, right? Right? Very good. I'm praying that you come out of your shell a little bit this week. It's good to, man, I tell you what, I was excited singing. That was good stuff. We should be excited. He wanted to teach them how Babylon worked, how Babylon talked, how Babylon eats and drinks. He said, what is the point here? The point is that they were trying to get them to look and assimilate into Babylon as much as possible. And it's no different today. The prince of this world is trying to advance his kingdom. We need to be prepared. We need to know how he works. The devil has no new thing. There's nothing new under the sun. And God, in his goodness, gives us a Bible that tells us how we can be prepared. King Nebuchadnezzar just simply thought, once they get to know us, it won't be so bad. It's like that today. What happens with young people is that you go out there and you meet people, and there's nice people in the world, right? Hallmark is not a Christian company. It's a nice company, though. Thank you cards, right? All that kind of stuff. But here's what happens. We go out there and we find out, you know what? These people aren't that bad. They're pretty nice. I mean, I know they're lost. I know the Bible says that they're at enmity against God, but they're not bad people. And so what begins to happen is, because of the people that we like, we begin to change our convictions and our standards so that they don't feel a certain way. But what Daniel said was that I don't care who I'm around or who I'm with or how nice that they try to be to me. I'm God's child. And this is, young people. The intention of the king was real. The king had a very real motive. You may smirk and laugh, but the reality is we live in a spiritual world. We fight spiritual battles. And the devil's real. The prince of this world is real. And he'll use people to influence you and to tempt you and try you and test you. But you have to go back to God's word. What does God's word say? And so while the intention of the king may have been evil, secondly, there was the integrity of Daniel. The integrity of Daniel. Now I want you to notice in verse number 6, the Bible says, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All names that give God glory. So that tells me these young people had good parents. They gave them good names. It's good to be from a good family. I'm thankful for the family I was raised in. And the goodness of God leads to repentance. Amen? And praise the Lord that I was able, like Timothy, I was taught the scriptures from when I was little. And when I got older, the Lord saved me. Why? Because I had the knowledge of the scriptures. I praise the Lord for a good upbringing. But I want you to notice the two words in verse 6, among these. That means, young people, that there were more than four that were brought into captivity by Babylon. There were more than four that were offered the king's meat and the king's wine and the Babylonian garments and all the tea, all that. There were more than four that were in this text, but among them were four that stood out. Now, I want to tell you that we kind of are narrowing it down, aren't we? We have the young people of the world, and then we have the young people that are professing Christ, and then we have the best of the best. But then out of that group, it gets even narrower. And Jesus is always right. Jesus never looked at his disciples and said, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. That never happened. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, and let me say this, if you're a Bible-applying Christian, it means you know what it says and you try to live by it, you're going to be in the minority. But that's okay. That's okay. We're not pragmatists. And because I'm just reminded that I'm teaching seventh graders also here, we don't just go by how things go by experience. I'm trying to think how to explain pragmatists to a seventh grader. So much for my relation to youth. All right. Oh, well. It was good while it lasted, right, Pastor Dameron? I want you to notice something about the integrity of Daniel is that, number one, he did not allow Babylon to influence him, but he also did not allow his own peers to influence him. What's becoming a tragic trend in Christian and Baptist churches is that our own young people are bad influences on our own young people. But Daniel Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't allow that to happen. We'll talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tomorrow if the Lord allows. But I want you to understand that you have to take your personal Christian integrity seriously. You can't always go with the flow. Sometimes the people that you think that should be the most dependable, and let me speak to the youth pastors and pastors real quick, the youth directors. I want to challenge you and encourage you. God gave you a special privilege to be teaching young people. And more than Mountain Dew and pizza and game night, they need you to live a holy, separated life. God uses clean vessels, and our young people need to see it's real. It's not just Sunday talk. It's real. And so Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were among these. But what set them apart? What set Daniel apart? I want you to notice in verse 8, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in his heart that. Whenever you see the word that means it's a purpose statement. That means here's why. He had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. That means, young people, Daniel had convictions. There were convictions that he had. He knew who he was, and his identity was not based on where he was or who he was with. It was based on who he served. And King Nebuchadnezzar was not the one he was called to serve. His God was. The king wanted to change that. The king wanted to change Daniel's loyalty. He wanted to change Daniel's allegiance. But Daniel said it's not going to happen. Daniel had value. And he knew it. If there was one lesson you could get today, young people, it's that one. You have value. And you need to know it. Because what Daniel didn't say was, I don't want to eat that bad stuff. No, it was more than that. He said, I don't want to defile myself. Defile means pollute. Make dirty. Daniel knew, I'm God's child. And there are things in this culture that can ruin me. That can dirty me. That can defile me. That can pollute me. And it's not happening. But notice what he refused. Notice there's no mention of him refusing the 3 years of university training. Matter of fact, if you read history, the Chaldeans were brilliant people. They had some amazing technology back then. It wasn't that Daniel refused. Matter of fact, Daniel, there's no record of him refusing other things. But when it came to the king's meat, he drew a line. Why is that? I'll tell you why, at least what I believe. Because there was no direct command from God not to attend a secular university, but there was a direct command from God on what the Hebrew children could and could not eat. And here's where the line got drawn in Daniel's life. God's word. God's word. There's a lot of things that we can put up with in the world, but young people, hear me. When it comes to God's word, that's where the line gets drawn. And if it goes contrary to the word of God, it's defiling. It's defiling. It's sin. Any transgression of God's law is sin. And sin is why Christ had to die. And we don't want that. We don't want even the garment spotted by the world, by the flesh. And so Daniel said, I'm not doing it. I may be here against my will, and you may be, I may be forced to live here, and I may not be able to change my address, but I'm not changing my character. You can change my name, you can change my location, but you cannot change who I am in my heart. And that's where he purposed, in his heart. Young people, listen. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Your salvation was not a mental assent to some facts. George Washington, first president of the United States. Ben Franklin, historian from Philadelphia. Jesus Christ lived on earth, died, buried, rose again. You know, Nero, Roman, you know, Jesus is just some part of the history. There's no salvation in that. Romans chapter 10, talking about those that obey not the gospel. He continues on, and you know what the Bible says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's more than a mind. It's more than a mental assent. It's more than an intellectual decision. It's the feeling. It's where Paul told the church at Corinth that you were made sorry. There was a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner before a holy God. He was your creator. He gave you life. And you've been using His breath and His gifts for yourself. And you realize that all the goodness that you have, all the things you do, it's fallen short of the glory of God. But why does the glory of God matter anyway? That's why we were created. We are created beings to bring our Creator glory. But because of sin that we're born with, we fall short of that glory. But God in His goodness said, it doesn't have to stay that way. I'm going to provide a way for you to have my Son's righteousness, and I'm going to give that to you, and I'll take your sin. Praise God for the cross, for the power of the resurrection. Now, I want you to think about it. The power of the resurrection. That's some serious power, amen? But we have a lot of young people who don't understand that power. And I'm not here to offend anybody. That's not my intent at all. But I want to remind you, salvation started in the heart. Salvation started in the heart. And what may need to happen, some of our young men, young ladies, you don't need to rededicate your life for the 13th time. Maybe you just need to get serious and finally get saved. Finally give your life to, not to church, to Christ. Because listen, we're not church people. We're God's people. And there's a difference. You go out into the world and say, well, hey, listen, you know, people at my church do this. Or people at my church don't do that. People at my church. That's not what it is. We're God's people. And God's people have a certain way of living. God's people care about standards. They care about how they live their life. And that was in his heart. And the reason Daniel could purpose things in his heart is because he knew God. And so I want to challenge you, young people. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? And so as I said before, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, if that decision came from your heart at salvation, guess what? You're going to need making decisions in your heart in the rest of your Christian life. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You're able to have that victory that we sang about a few minutes ago. He had value and he knew it. God's word was the tipping point for him. He was God's child. And yet, not all the meat was offered to idols. Not all the meat was pork. Not all the meat was unclean. Not all the food was offered to idols. But all the food was Babylon's. And he said, I'm not doing it. I'm not going contrary to God's word. And God give us young people who love him enough to say, if it goes against God's word, I'm not doing it. That's it. I'm not doing it. Yeah, but what if people in your own youth group, but my youth group isn't the standard. God's word is the standard. Now the goal is to have the whole youth group living that way. Amen. And so you have Daniel who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, I love this end of the verse here. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not eat the meat because he was gluten free. Is that what it says? No. You know what I love about this part of the verse? Daniel had no problem telling the man from Babylon why he wasn't going to do what he wanted him to do. He wasn't afraid to give a spiritual reason. Amen? Sometimes, as young people, we get nervous about saying why we do things and why we don't do things. You go to church on Sunday night. Well, yeah, my parents like to go to church Sunday night, so we do, that's what we do. But you're saved by God's grace. Well, you say, no, I get to go to church Sunday night. Our pastor's been studying all week. He's got a message from God. I know a lot of people, they don't know that it's real, but that's because they're so used to religion. But I go to a church that's not about religion. It's about truth. It's about God. And I get to go to church Sunday night. Oh man, you have to wear that? You don't wear that? Well, yeah, it's just kind of what our church's standards are. No. Oh yeah, I do. The Bible says that Christians, we're peculiar people. It means that we're supposed to stand out. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to look, you know, like frumpy, dowdy, all that stuff. But we are supposed to be modest and separated, and that's what the Bible teaches. And I believe the Bible. And here's why I believe the Bible: because it told me that I was a sinner, and it told me what God would do for me. And you know what? He was right. He changed my life. My life's never been the same. And I've learned that I can trust everything in the Bible. So if it comes down to things as simple as whatever I eat or drink, then God still, if God cares what I eat or drink, God cares what I wear. And so I want to make sure that I'm pleasing to Him. I know some people don't understand, but that's okay. They don't understand a lot of things in the Bible, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with answering that way. You say, well, that would take a lot of time in the line at a grocery store. Well, then ask, maybe say, well, hey, if you'd like to find out the real reason, I'd love to talk to you about it one time. And so that doesn't work. It does. I've done it. The reality is this, is that we need young people. Daniel was a teenager here. Daniel wasn't 70 years old. But the reason we read about Daniel at 70 years later, the reason that we see Daniel as such a good man is because he was a great young person. He made decisions when he was a young person. Think about it, young people. We know about David, but God said, I don't want to wait until David becomes king to tell them about David. Let me tell them about him when he was a young person. We know about Joseph sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, but God didn't say, let's wait till he becomes a second in command, then we'll talk to him about Joseph. No, God wanted us to know about Joseph as a young person. What about Mary? Well, let's wait till she... No, let's let him know that she was a good young lady that God used. Let's let them know about the young people in the Bible. How about Samuel? Well, let's wait till he becomes a prophet. No, I want him to know about he was 12 years old. And God spoke to him. And he stood up to a compromising priest and said, thus saith the Lord, at 12. Tell him about that. This is God's word. And God chose to tell us over and over and over again how he uses young people. And Daniel was one of them. And Daniel wasn't afraid to tell this Babylonian boss, I'm not doing it because I'm God's. And I don't want to defile myself. Can you imagine how offensive that would be? I'm not doing what you do. That's filthy and dirty, and I don't want it in a part of my life. But that's what he did. That's what Daniel said. Now, when Daniel made this decision, why did he make this decision? I told you about it already. They wanted the world's values, the world's attitudes, the world's goals. And Daniel made one clear declaration. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm God's. And I'm going to act like God's. I'm going to live like God's. And I'm going to please God. I'd like you to take your Bible, and we're almost done. I know Chicago is calling. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is embarrassing. This is not... So, this really just happened. I just want you to know this. So, I have pages in my Bible that are loose. And they're actually out of my Bible. And I must have left them in my room. So, I need a young person to stand up. Who can talk... I like that. All right. Here, come on up here to the microphone. All right. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and then until I tell you to stop.
Yes, sir. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk.
Stop. Stay here, though. What was Paul saying? Yeah, I know you're in the world, but we don't walk like the world. We don't walk like Gentiles walk. We're a different people. And so I don't want you walking like Gentiles. All right, carry on. This is going to happen more than once. I just want you to know that.
Oh, no. All right. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God.
Stop right there. Young people, listen to me. What a privilege it is that you have the life of God. There are billions of people in this world. And you are privileged enough to know the Creator and to know God as your Father, Jesus as your Savior, and the Spirit as the one who indwells you and gives you peace. Your understanding is not darkened. That is a privilege. That's a blessing. All right, keep on.
Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ.
Stop right there. How many of you are a Christian? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. What's the root word of your title? We got to live like it. That's how the Gentiles walk. But you've not so learned Christ. But I want you to listen, young people, because you are under the authority, not of me, not under a Fairhaven Baptist, but you're under the authority of your Lord and Savior. And here's how His Holy Spirit moved that aged apostle to write on how his people should live and act. Keep reading.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay, stop right there. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Not just be renewed in your mind. Listen, in the spirit of your mind. You know what one of the biggest difficulties is for young people? It's attitude. It's the spirit behind them. It's the spirit. It's like, well, I said yes, sir. No, I'm not worried about that you said yes, sir. I'm worried about how you said yes, sir. It's the tone. It's the attitude. All right? But God doesn't really care about our attitude. Oh, yeah, He does. Because God just doesn't say, I want you to give. God says give cheerfully. That means it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. God doesn't say, I just want you to talk. He said, no, I want your speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That means it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. He said, well, that's for adults. No, you're saved. You're a Christian. You have God's name. That's for you. And so before you're your parents' son, before you are your parents' daughter, before you are your pastor's church member, you are God's child.
Amen.
It's time to act like it. Because there is an all-out attack on us. But here's what Daniel said, and this is what I love. Daniel did not only play defense. Daniel had a plan for offense. You see, Daniel wasn't just a... You okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Daniel, who was the girl you wanted to see?
No.
Oh, okay. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was a joke. This is what I love about Daniel. All right? Daniel was not just like, well, that world is so bad. I don't want that stuff in my life. That's all bad. I'm staying in my bubble. He didn't do that. He said this. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to do that because... It's defiling, all right? I mean, may I borrow your Bible for just a second?
Sir.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Fine young man. He says this. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, verse 25, do you lie? Answer that honestly. Now, here's the good news. Stop it. Let me give you the Greek for put away lying. Stop it. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That means if you're going to be angry, let it be over right things, not wrong things. Not because you have to take out the trash. Not because you have to make your bed. I love our young people today. Not you guys. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about people out there, right? They got, oh, I wish I could. You can't even make your bed right? But they want to make decisions for the family. You know, like, come on, learn to make your bed first, then we'll talk about what we should do as a family. Then I'll seek your counsel, amen? All right? But be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And now here it is. Now this is the key verse here. And I am quickly running out of time, all right? Neither give place to who? The devil. Do you know what that means? This is what Daniel did. Daniel did not give place to the devil. Here's what it means. I love this. And it fits right in with our theme. It means don't you give up your territory. That's yours. But here's the reality. You can't give it up unless you had it to begin with. And God has given you things, young people. And maybe you're beginning to lose it already. Hey, seniors. Remember when you had influence? Do you still have it? Is it good influence? Hey, remember when you were happy going to church? Don't give up your territory. Don't give place to the devil. It's not just about your aunt, your uncle, your friend at school, your friend. There's a spirit behind it. Don't give up territory. And Daniel, here's how Daniel entered Daniel chapter 1. I'm not giving up any ground. If it goes against God's word, I'm not doing it. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. I wish I had time to talk about what a blessing it is to have young people who are hard workers. Amen? It's such an important thing. Young ladies, if you're looking for a guy, you look at his work ethic. You know, when he says, I do, that doesn't suddenly make him a great worker. You know, amen. Amen. I've got a 15-year-old daughter. I'm praying about good guys already. Amen. But work ethic matters. I want you to look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So what's the quota here? What are we allowed every day? How much corrupt communication? Zilch. Nada. None. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Why? Because verse 30, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto redemption. Look at verse 32. And be ye what? Kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now we're going to thank you. You can be seated. All right, we just made the fourth turn. We're coming down the backstretch, okay? I want you to listen. The things you just read in the book of Ephesians, that's not how the world lives. The world doesn't mind those things. But that's how God's children live. That's not how Babylon lives. It's how God's children lives. But if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to influence a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to look at this tomorrow, we're going to need young people who purpose in their heart now the things they're not going to do. The beautiful thing is the intention of King Nebuchadnezzar was real. The integrity of Daniel was stronger. And because of his integrity, he had influence, and it was a good influence. Young ladies, young men, God has given you things that are worth protecting and not polluting, not defiling. God has given you things that are worth not ever giving up, not defiling, and not polluting. But it's more than that. Because Daniel, and we're going to close with this. We'll look at this tomorrow, all right? We'll do part two tomorrow. And this is what I love about Daniel. Remember, he's a teenager. You know, he hasn't graduated from Fairhaven Baptist College yet. He doesn't know everything. I mean, it took a little while, but they got it. Amen. That's good. He didn't know everything. He was a teenager. And you know what he said? He said, hey, boss, can I talk to you for a second? Hey, listen, I'm not doing this. But let me tell you what I will do. He didn't say when he found out that his steward would be killed if they didn't do what the king said. He didn't say, you know what? Good. That's what you get. That's what you get. You know what? You reap what you sow, pal. You took me from my house, my home, my family. You know what? Welcome to reality. You got to live by your choices. He didn't do that. I mean, the blessing is that Daniel was compassionate enough to say, hey, but I have an alternative that will actually be a blessing to you. It's what being salt and light is all about. You see, if all the world knows is what we don't do, what we won't do, what we don't like, what we're anti-this, anti-that, if that's the only side of us they see, they're never going to see Christ. Because Jesus said about himself, I didn't come to preach blindness. I came to preach sight to the blind. I didn't come to preach captivity. I came to preach deliverance from captivity. And listen, our message is not how bad the world is. Our message is how good God is. And Daniel, he's all about living for God. And he knows that if I continue living for God, I am going to have a positive impact on those around me. God's going to bless me and bless my life because when God wrote his word for us now, he says, it is profitable for you. Isn't that a blessing? And that's what we need. We don't need to just be against sin. We need to be against sin. There's nothing wrong with getting up and preaching hard against sin. But the whole point is to be used by God. Now, we're going to close with this verse, okay? You said that's the second time you said that. Thank you for keeping track. Young person, you're listening to the message and you say, you know what? I've allowed some things into my life. I have allowed some of the Babylon influence, whether it be a movie or a song or a video game or some form of media or an attitude. The attitude that I've been having lately, it's not Christ-like. It's Gentile-like. And I'm not supposed to walk as Gentiles walk. And so I need to make that right. You need to make that right then. Invitations are strange because they often get sort of like this negative testimony, negative reputation, I should say. As if it's only for the people that have things they have to work out. It's like a negative. Like, well, if you're in sin, you need to come forward. Hey, listen, honestly, I believe that when it comes time to calling people forward, it's not for the worse, it's for the best. It's for the ones out there who say, I'm going to come forward, I'm going to leave some stuff. It used to be called the altar. Because that's where you leave things. That's where you sacrifice things. And so I'm not calling you forward just because if you have sin, you got to make something right. You need to come forward and make it right. Well, yeah, well, what are people going to think? Well, who cares what people think, right? But I'm not calling you forward for that reason. I'm calling you forward because of what's ahead, not because of what you've done already. And I want to explain that. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, here's what God says. That if we confess our sin, I love this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. That means you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell your youth director. I'm not just enough to forgive you of your sin. No man is. God is. God is able. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Amen. And to what? Cleanse us. Say, well, he's being repetitive. No, he's not. He's doing two things. He's forgiving us of our sin and he's cleansing us. Say, well, why would he do that? This is good. I love this. I'll tell you why. Because you only wash things you plan on using again. You don't throw your dishes away when you're done with them. You wash them. Why? Because you want to use them again. You throw your clothes in the laundry. You don't throw your clothes away. You wash them. Why? Because you want to wear them again. Young person, listen to me. You're not disposable. Okay, you've had a bad attitude. You've messed up. You failed. You haven't purposed in your heart like you should be. But you can now. You can today. You come forward and you confess that to God. And you get it right. Don't wait for Thursday. My soul don't wait for Thursday. You come forward, you confess that to God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to forgive you and he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he wants to use you again. Father in heaven, thank you.